Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm Deb Balico and I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. And yesterday was Mother's Day. And in light of Mother's Day, we were just reflecting on all the amazing mamas in our program who are fighting for their children and just their amazing stories. We were reflecting on just God's heart for mothers and a unique story that happened on Mother's Day that she was reflecting on. So I'd love to hear it, Rebecca.
Yeah, it was always on Mother's Day that the Lord reminds me of this story. And I am just in awe of the Lord, honestly, that He is so good. I was at the end of my three-month depression where I couldn't get out of bed. You've all heard that story. And it was just, yeah, just not knowing how that I was even depressed. But when God revealed it to me, I took steps that you can read about or hear in my audio of Inspired to Action book. But what the Lord did during that time is once that three-month stint was up, and I was able to actually start getting out of bed, I really just was able to start absorbing just the Word of God and Christian books. And one of the Christian books that I got was, it's called Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets. It's an old book, but he talked about the prayer and how important it is to pray, because when we pray, of course, all through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where God is telling us to pray for His kingdom to come, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He's saying all through these different scriptures, ask, 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 ask. And Dutch Sheet gave some illustrations of some Old Testament different ones, like Daniel in the Bible, where Daniel had read in the scrolls that Jerusalem was only going to be in captivity for the 70 years. And it was almost the end of the 70 years. And he was like, oh my goodness, the timeline, it's matching up. We're almost to that place. And so he decides that he's going to fast and pray to bring that into existence. So normally you would think he would just be excited. Oh, it's almost the 70 years that was prophesied that we're going to be in captivity and we're almost going to be set free. But instead he decides, oh, I've got to do something in the spirit realm. So he knew something that many people did not. And he literally, it says he began to fast and pray. And I'm just going to read this little part because it is so good. It says, so somehow he understood that the prayer had a huge part to play in bringing that prophecy into existence. In Daniel 10, 12 through 13, an angel appeared to Daniel once he was praying and spoke these words to him. Don't be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I had been left there with the kings of Persia. So this is 21 days after he had been praying, that this angel breaks through, tells him, don't be discouraged, basically. I'm fighting in the heavenlies. And he's describing to Daniel what he was doing in the heavenlies, that he was in battle. And I believe just encouraging Daniel to not stop. Like there was a battle and he needed to tell him to keep going, keep praying. And so the spiritual battle is so real that we can't see it. And it says that the Israelites were set free soon after Daniel prayed. And there's many more examples in the Bible that Dutch Sheet had given about different ones in the Old Testament, predominantly that the Lord had asked them to pray specifically. And then it came about, you know, whether it was Elisha with the rain, you know, that it had been a famine in the land and they needed rain. So different examples. And so after I read all of this, I was just so like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be one of those people that just prays God's perfect will into existence. So I got super excited. I committed to the Lord that evening as I finished reading just the first couple chapters of this book. I think I got to chapter 3. And I said, Lord, I am committing to you tonight that no matter what you prompt my heart to do, I will walk in that. If you ask me to pray for somebody, I'm going to pray. If you ask me to, you know, go do something, I'm going to do it. Whatever you ask of me, I am going to do it because I want your perfect will to be accomplished through my life. And you can trust me with that. So I was very excited, zealous that night, go to sleep, get up the next morning, and it's Mother's Day. So go to church. I've got my 3 beautiful kids sitting next to me, and we're just all just as a family. And I was just like, wow, I feel so blessed today. And the pastor, he was acknowledging all the mothers and their children. And then I looked over. He had us actually stand, and they just honored the mothers. And I looked around the room because, of course, we're just all admiring all the mothers. And I looked over and I saw one of my coworkers sitting with her husband. And I thought, oh, she has been trying to have a baby for 10 years and she hasn't been able to conceive. And how hard this day must be for her. And as I was thinking about her, I think she had a daughter from a previous marriage. So she may have been standing. I can't remember on that. But I knew this particular husband that she was with, she couldn't have a child. And they had tried and they had prayed and they loved the Lord with all their heart and just the most precious couple. And so my heart sank for them in that moment. And I felt like immediately the Lord prompted my heart, go pray for them. And I was like, it's Mother's Day. You don't do that on Mother's Day. You don't make somebody cry on Mother's Day. You know, that would make them cry. And so I wrestled with that. And then the whole meeting, I was just wrestling to the point where I was like, I can't do this on Mother's Day. Any other day, Lord, any other day, but not Mother's Day. I don't want to make them cry and make them upset. Like this is not the time you go pray for somebody to have a baby when they're already in mourning that they can't have a child, you know. And so the Lord kept completely being really strong and even brought the whole, you committed last night to me, you know. And I was like, I know I committed to you, but can I get out of this one, please, you know. So at the end of the meeting, I just thought, I'm going to be physically sick. I will throw up if I can't get, like, the stomach ache just killed me. And not killed me, literally, but, you know, it was hurting. And so I walked up straight to this couple. I just told my family, I'll be back just a minute, you know. So I walked over to the couple and I said, I want to know if I can pray for you. I just feel like the Lord's prompting me to pray for you. Can I pray for you right now? And they both were very sweet and said, yes, of course. And so I started praying for them. And I asked that God would give her a baby from her womb. And as I was praying that, all of a sudden, I got this picture of all of these chains over her uterus. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I've never gotten that kind of picture before. And so I literally started asking the Lord to remove the chains that were over her uterus and whatever was causing her to be blocked in the spirit realm or in the physical realm or physically, whatever's happening in her womb, that God would remove those chains and would heal her womb and prepare her womb to conceive a baby and to bring baby to full term. So as I'm praying this, all of a sudden I just start crying and then she starts crying and then her husband starts crying. And I was just like, oh no, this is not going the way I wanted it to go. I didn't want to make them cry on Mother's Day. I didn't want to cry on Mother's Day, but it was a very emotional experience. And I wanted to even small talk. I had in my head how I was going to do this. I was going to pray for them. And then I was just going to small talk with them, make everything comfortable and then leave. But no, we were all a mess. I couldn't even talk because of my blubbering. And so I literally was like, okay, all right, bye. You know, I left them and I went straight to the bathroom and I got in one of the stalls and I'm just like wiping all my tears. And I'm like having this conversation with the Lord in my mind, God, that did not go the way it was supposed to go. I wanted to small talk with them and oh, this was horrible. And I felt like the Lord just very gently spoke to my heart, thank you for being obedient. And I was like, oh, this is so not cool, Lord. This is so not cool. So leave, and had a couple conversations with her later. She thanked me, you know, at work so much for praying. And they were trying to actually, they had an adoption process that they had started, and it looked like that it was going to go through. And she was like, thank you so much for praying. The adoption's going to go through. And I was thinking in my head, but I didn't pray for the adoption. I prayed for a baby from your womb. But, you know, I didn't say anything at that point. I was like, oh, okay. And went away. And I still continued to pray that God would give her a baby from her womb. And within 6 months, so this was Mother's Day in May, by December, I had a phone call with her. And I was away on a vacation at Christmas time, and I needed to tell her something in the office. And so I called her, and she says, Rebecca, I need to tell you that I'm pregnant. And now she was also 45 years old. So this was like the end of when a woman usually can conceive, have a baby. And she says, I'm 45 and I am pregnant. And we didn't want to tell anybody for 3 months because we were afraid of miscarriage. So she says, but now I'm over 3 months pregnant and now we're telling people. And I said, oh my goodness. Well, what are you going to do with this adoption? And she says, well, yeah, I decided that if I was going to be able to get pregnant, like we kind of talked about this, if I did get pregnant, we would wait to see if I can carry this baby in pregnancy. And this couple that's fostering the child for us actually wants to adopt him. They've been begging us, please, if we can just adopt this little boy, we've fallen in love with him. And so once she came to full term, delivered this little boy, they released the adoptive little boy to be adopted by this foster family. And it was this whole miracle that happened. You know, here she delivers this baby at 45 years old. And every time I saw this little boy, they had worked with us in that area for 2 years. And every time I saw this curly, blonde-haired, blue-eyed little boy, I would be like, this is God's little miracle. And I don't take full credit because I know a lot of people were praying, but I know something happened in the spirit realm and in the physical realm that day on Mother's Day. And God did a miracle. And I know it was other people praying as well. And it's just this whole body of Christ in action thing. And who knows how many people were petitioning in the heavenlies over this little boy's life to be born and brought into life. And so that was in 2002, and he would be 24 today. So I am in awe of God, and this is the God we serve. And Mother's Day is when he reminds me of the beauty of what he wants to do, not only through mothers, but through our saying yes. And that was the beginning of me learning to say yes to the Lord. And that was where my commitment came. That is, everything that I'm doing today is the seed that started in that 24 hours of me committing to the Lord. And it was, yeah, it's been a journey of just watching God do incredible things as I learned to say yes. And yeah, it's been quite a ride.
It's cool because God is really building your faith in that story, so that at other times when he asks you to pray for something, you're like, okay, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to pray. Lord, you're going to do something here. Is there a certain message or anything that you would give to mothers out there in this Mother's Day season, either physical mothers or even spiritual mothers? How would you encourage them in building their faith?
Yeah, you know, these children, obviously, that we serve, a lot of them, they're orphans, or they have no, their parents have no maternal care for them. So they've come into our lives. We've got over 700 kids on our feeding and school program that are just starved for love. We have 61 kids in this orphanage safe home that we are, most of them are total orphans, or they were abandoned by their parents, and they're just starved for love. And the Lord really showed me in this work in those early years is that there's nothing that can replace a biological mother, but we in the physical realm, we can give them the love that a mother, a natural mother, would give them. And these kids are going to grow up healthy because they've got the love of the mother. And obviously, we bring men into our teams as well, and they become the surrogate father, you know, to these kids. And just that love that we get to give to these precious ones in front of us. I see our staff that literally become that mom figure. We have a house mom at this orphanage safe home that loves these kids like her own. She's never had biological kids, and she just loves them so much. And then the director is also, she literally tells me, she says, "I love these kids as if I had birthed them all myself." And she goes, "I never thought I could ever love children like that. But God has given me that love for them. And I do. I feel like they're all, that I've birthed them and that they were all from my womb." And she takes it very serious. And so, you know, for those that can't conceive or can't have children, or for whatever reason, you don't have children in your life at this time, there are so many children that God is maneuvering to put into your path so that you will be that mother figure to those children. And it doesn't matter where they're at around the world, or if they're your next door neighbor. I have a lot of little neighborhood kids that, you know, wander around, and you just want to love on them and tell them how special they are and listen to them. And they all have a story of some sort of hurt that they need to talk about. But yeah, God is utilizing our gifts and strengths with that. I see that, you know, the moms that we work with predominantly in the field are the ones that a lot of the women are the ones that are having to school the kids, feed the kids. The men work on the farms, and yet it's still the woman's responsibility. She has to work to provide for the kids. And of course, there's men that marry numerous wives, so there's numerous kids involved and all of that. And yeah, I'm always surprised that it's the woman that has to be the one that is responsible to figure out how to get the money to send the kids to the school and to feed them. They become my heroes when I see how hard they work. They work harder than I've ever seen women work around the world. And, you know, when they come to Jesus is when we see the real beauty of their life come through. You know, we do work in the voodoo areas where they don't tend to have that natural affection for their children. And once they become someone who loves Jesus by his spirit, he comes in and he literally transforms their heart and their mind and their spirit and their bodies, and they start fighting for their kids. And yeah, they're the ones that are telling us, you know, this neighbor is going to send her child to Nigeria tomorrow, or it's, you know, wherever. And, you know, there's all kinds of African countries that are taking these kids in to use them as what they call domesticates, where they use them as the slave of the home. And they get away with it in these countries because they call them the domesticates, you know, the ones that are just going to help them do work. And yet they're used on every level as a slave. And so, yeah, it's beautiful to see mothers rise up fighting for their children, fighting for their neighbors' children. And our staff are at the top of my list to say they're the ones that are fighting for hundreds of kids. And, you know, the mamas that you've heard on this podcast, the stories that we've told. And if you're a mama in America that is just loving on your kids, loving on the children in your path, thank you. Thank you for loving so well. And we honor you as mothers. We honor you for all that you do for these little ones that just need a touch from Jesus through your life.
Yeah, we do love honoring not only the mamas in our program, but just moms out there in general for the sacrifice that they make. And the picture that I have in my mind, so I have chickens, and I often call them my therapy chickens, just because sometimes the Lord really speaks to me through these chickens of just how he cares for them. And, you know, if he cares so much for them, how much more will he care for me? Well, I have a chicken that's broody, which means that she wants to hatch eggs. So I have given her fertilized eggs that she is this mother hen that is taking such good care of them. So they're not actually her eggs. They're another chicken's eggs. And she just guards them, protects them, puts them under her wing, has like created this nest, and she talks to them. She like clucks at them. By the time they come out of the shell, they'll recognize her voice. And it just makes me think of Jesus's heart, you know, for his people. And even in Matthew 23, where Jesus is grieving for Jerusalem, and he's like, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And he goes on, like, this is his heart for his people. This is his heart for us, as he's like, oh, you know, I just want to gather you and protect you. And will you let me? Will you let me do that? So yeah, for the people out there that are providing, are like that mother hen that gathers whoever crosses their path, you know, under the shelter of God's wings, is kind of the living representation of that to the world. We honor you. We thank you. But if you need a reminder that God wants to gather you under his wings and provide for you, and just be reminded of that message today. So thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.